stillness, a morning to take a break from the onslaught of the season and be together as the one true family we all too often forget that we are. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. You may notice that you are sitting on new pew cushions. These pew cushions are the first new pew cushions in about 40 years, and were the gift of an anonymous donor who loves this church dearly. We want to thank that person, and we want to let you know that we have a long list of other opportunities to love the church in like ways. Our Christmas Eve services include pageants at 4 and 5:30. If you've never attended one of the Unity Christmas pageants, you should. It's a marvelous experience because it proves that the story is very simple and needs no filigree to strengthen it. Pageants are at 4 and 5:30. The 4 o'clock is especially intended for families with young children. So if you have young children you'd like to bring to the pageant, please bring them at 4. There's a new service, a family lessons and carols service, in which a 5-year-old Jesus will be inquiring of us about his birth at 7 o'clock. That service includes a child dedication ceremony. There's a second lessons and carols service at 10 o'clock, and then a Christmas communion in the Ames Chapel at 11:30. You're welcome to attend all of these. We plan to. Following this service, we hope you'll join us for refreshments in the parish hall. Jan and I will be going on sabbatical in mid-January. On January 7th, we'll celebrate the transition and welcome Justin Schroeder and Teresa Schwartz as our sabbatical ministers. We have every confidence in them, in the executive team, and the staff, and the board of trustees, and we contemplate our departure knowing that you are in very good hands indeed. Next week, on New Year's Eve, there will be a morning service at 10 and a second service at 4:30. Next week's service will be conducted by Justin Schroeder and Worship Associate Elizabeth Alexander. The title of the service is Rachel Weeping. We'd like to greet you following the service at the Portland Avenue doors. And once again, welcome to Unity Church. Thank you.
And it came to pass in those days, as it is always coming to pass on any ordinary day, in any ordinary place. And this child's name would be called a thousand beautiful names. Every word there is for gladness, every word there is for love, every word there is for peace. For why are we born but to remind one another what hope looks like, what hope feels like when you hold it in your hands and cradle it, whispering the quietest and bravest lullabies. For why are we born but to awaken to a winter landscape, to look upon this bright morning, to stand upon this humble, holy ground and know that we are blessed. Come, let us worship together.
Our failures are owned and accepted, our sorrows are transformed.
such a place. Let heart and mind come together. Let us be at home, centered, together once again.
Thank you.
want our church to be those who can't be here with us today, those who have died, those who are off somewhere celebrating some great turning in their lives, those who are in need of the very real care of this congregation. Following the prayer, there will be another extended period of silence, and then an opportunity to sing with me, "When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love." Our hearts are with all those who live with grief, with chronic pain, or with addiction. Those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with courage face their final days. We want you to know the church is always at your side. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Nellie Fleischman, Rebecca Flood's beloved aunt, who died this past Thursday following a fall at her home in New Orleans. We pray for the full recovery of Olga Zoltai, who is doing very well following open heart surgery this past week. And our hearts are with Robin McKenzie Terrace, who will be released from the hospital today as she recovers from pneumonia. And finally, we stand in compassionate solidarity with all our neighbors around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace within and among ourselves and with all nations. I now invite you to share the names of those you have brought here in your hearts. And let us pray. Holy One, you whom we know first and best as mother and father, giver of life and also of death, light and darkness, evil and good, one and indivisible. We acknowledge your presence within and among and beyond us this day. Help us, we pray, to greet the day with joy. Help us to comfort those who mourn, those who fight or fear. Help us and them to hear the angels singing. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to the everyday miracles we normally ignore. Forgive us our unseeing days. Help us to notice, if only for this one brief shining moment, that we might help to greet and save each and all your precious children. This we promise, this we pray.
organizations. This day, however, the plate is going to go out the door, but in a different kind of way. Money goes out the door of this congregation on a regular basis through the minister's discretionary fund. What is a minister's discretionary fund? It has helped people keep the heat on. It has helped people pay for rent. It has helped people get into therapy or counseling. It has helped people with a night in a hotel room. Recently, we helped fund a honeymoon of a college, along with 20 other colleagues.
what the writers leave out that fills me with wonder. There must have been so many moments of silence and stillness. After the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Mary stays with her for 3 months during Elizabeth's third trimester. Did Mary wait on her? Did they sing together and then sit in silence in the candlelight? Did Mary have morning sickness? Did she return to the guest bed in Elizabeth and Zechariah's house in the late morning? Stillness, exhausted. Did Mary massage Elizabeth's feet as they pondered the work of God in their bodies? In the time after those 3 months, Mary would begin to show. Did gentle Joseph tighten his fists in jealous rage? Did she cry in the stillness of her family's home, a young, unmarried, pregnant girl? Was she ostracized quietly, even after the angel convinced Joseph of God's hand in all of this? In the stillness of the night, did Mary quietly remember the caress of the Holy Spirit that made this come to pass? She had her own secrets to ponder. Mary and Joseph journeyed from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is a distance of about 70 miles. But with the mountainous terrain, it was probably more like 90 miles and a climb of over 1,000 feet. Surely there were moments of quiet as they walked slowly, side by side. Did Joseph ever wash Mary's dusty feet at the end of a long day's journey? Or did she follow custom and wait on him, despite the fullness of her pregnancy? Were they in a hurry, or did they walk slowly? Did they have a sweet dessert of dates and yogurt at day's end and enjoy the quiet of a good meal? Or did they collapse in fatigue after a supper of stale pita bread? Surely, a stillness settled over the stable. After the midwife delivered Jesus, after the shepherds left, but before the three wise ones arrived, was there room at the inn then? It must have been so dark in the desert night, the smell of hay, the creaking of cooling wood. Did Joseph worry about getting back to his carpentry business? Surely Jesus cried in the night. Did the itchy straw make him inconsolable? Did Mary and Joseph sing lullabies to Jesus in that dark night to finally fall asleep in the quiet hours of morning? Before the invention of the light bulb, in these dark days of the year, people would go to bed when the light would wane. They would wake about 4 hours later for an hour or so of contemplation and stillness, and then return to their sleeping and dreaming. Though our modern light affords us more hours of productivity, perhaps we have even less time for contemplation. I think of Mary and Joseph going to bed at nightfall, and Mary awakening a few hours later. It must have been then that she pondered these things in her heart, Joseph asleep at her side, Jesus in the manger, her own body delicate and weary. By now, the angels have ascended. The manger grows smaller, now dirt roads curve gently. Higher still, the brown desert mountains come into view, the azure Mediterranean, the Red Sea. Soaring higher in that night, there are continents. The air grows thin, the sun blazes in dark space, and our small planet spins in the dark night of the cosmos as a pale blue dot. Carl Sagan urges us to look again at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. religion's ideologies and economic doctrines. Every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every parent, hopeful child, inventor, and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, on a mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. The story of Jesus, with his moments of passion and stillness, are but a fraction of life on that pale blue dot. But we return to it, year after year, to kindle our hopes, to preserve and cherish our very human lives on this mote of dust in a sunbeam. It's our story. It's here. It's home. It's us. It's the story of the birth of a very human rabbi. It's the story of God coming to dwell with us. It's the story of a virgin birth, the story of an illegitimate pregnancy, a story of strange stars in the night, of a massacre of young boys, of angels descending, and muddy shepherds and murmuring sheep. It is us. Our hopes for transcendence, with bodies as earthen vessels, our hand dirty with the work of the world, common as mud. Tonight, we will receive the annual invitation yet again, that Emmanuel will come, that despite our turnings this year, the times we've missed the mark, by grace, God will dwell with us again. But perhaps, if we have time for stillness tonight, we will not only see the holy, but we will find it has been here all along. These sparse stories of fanciful miracles just might open the door. For it is in the stillness that the visions come. It's when the angels descend. We are the waiting. Waiting for a star to rise, the angels to appear, for the singing of our own souls to shake our bodies, to arise with new hope for this pale blue dot. The moments of stillness are largely left out of the biblical narrative, but we know they must have been there. The moments of stillness are largely left out of our holiday celebrations, but we know they need to be there. Will you take time to see the rising star? Seek the stillness now, before the birth. Receive the invitation. Lay down your labors. Abandon all reason for now, once again. We sing, O come, Emmanuel, please come. Like Mary, may we treasure all these words and ponder them in our hearts, in the stillness, for tonight, and in the year to come.
You won't need your hymnal. I'll sing a line and you sing it back to me. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo.
Gloria, Gloria, Alleluia.
Gloria, Alleluia.
Last Tuesday, the elders of this church gathered to share Christmas and holiday memories. Memories as varied and unique as the ornaments that decorate a Christmas tree. They were memories of waking at 5 a.m. on Christmas Day and walking 2 miles to church along a frozen river that cracked and groaned in the early morning. They were memories of the Unity pageant, being in the pageant. Memories of the magical Christmas Eve stillness of this place, and the feeling that perhaps peace is possible, despite man's inhumanity to man. Memories of cards, caroling, and watching loved ones open gifts. The memories that were shared in that circle evoked laughter, smiles, sighs, and even tears. It is a complicated season. Full of joy and goodwill, yes, but also full of those many things that remind us of those who are no longer here, those we miss, those we love. It's a time of longing and miracles, of darkness, dreams, and hopes. And what better place to start than with the memories of that great jolly elf, Santa Claus. About Santa Claus, one elder said, "I recall being absolutely certain that Santa Claus existed. Because I grew up in the Great Depression, and at Christmas time, all I did was window shop and drool at everything there was, because there was no way in the world that my parents could afford Christmas gifts. So when gifts did appear under the tree, it was clear. Santa Claus was real." Another elder recalled that at age 8, she was having doubts about Santa Claus. But all of that quickly changed when she snuck downstairs on Christmas morning to discover an F&B doll with her name on it. Obviously, this was the work of Santa Claus. Another elder shared, "My naughty brother kept insisting to me that there was no Santa Claus, that Santa Claus definitely wasn't keeping tabs on him or me or anyone else. But on Christmas Day, my naughty brother ended up with a stocking full of coal. So I kept believing." And the Christmas tree figured prominently in many memories as well. My father always put up a Christmas tree at the last minute, and he never could get it quite right, or at least up to my mother's standards. One time he had to wire 2 trees together to make a presentable Christmas tree. Another shared this story. "For one Christmas, we were in Ethiopia in the Peace Corps, and there were no trees in Ethiopia. So we ended up collecting these little twigs and making a beautiful twig tree." As a small child, another elder shared, "The living room was sealed off from my eyes as my mother set up the tree, preparing for Christmas Eve. The sweetest event of Christmas was when my grandmother played Silent Night on the piano. In the living room, was revealed, and the green tree was there, lit with real candles and the presence underneath it." Another elder shared this memory. "In the middle of the living room at my grandmother's house stood a huge Christmas tree with a village beneath it and a white picket fence that surrounded the village. We all knew that we were not allowed to touch anything on the other side of that fence, but we could be on the floor right up to the fence and admire that village." And this memory is being passed on as I now have a 2-year-old granddaughter who sits on the floor right behind the fence, looking at the village with awe and wonder, just just as I did those many years ago. This morning, tonight, this holiday season, the memories continue to be made as we once again prepare a place in our hearts for awe, wonder, and gratitude.
Gifted with every keener appetite that mere unmiracle can quite appease, humbly in their imagined bodies kneel, while over time, space, doom, dream floats the whole perhapsless mystery of paradise. Mind without soul may blast some universe to might have been and stop 10,000 stars, but not one heart beat of this child. Nor can even prevail a million questionings against the silence of his mother's smile, whose only secret all creation sings.